This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. We love spending this time with you, as you well know, Monday through Friday, as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always inviting you to join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I say, we do love having that holy conversation with you. So I invite you to use our toll-free number if you're here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, your insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And I got to tell you what, here we go. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board for you. We have Tom Price doing our call screening today. Pedro Quiles is out there. I think, yes, Pedro Quiles is out there. And what is he doing? He is collecting and retrieving those comments that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page, and also retrieving your text messages. Let me give you the way in which you can join us by text. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get it retrieved up on the board. Do know that message rates and data rates may apply. Again, the number to call, 833-288-3986. 833-288-EWTN. Well, it's Wednesday. Wednesday is always the Wacky Wednesday day right here on Women of Grace Live. And I've got Sue Brinkman with us. And we kind of like on Wednesdays call ourselves the Wacky Women of Wacky Wednesday. But we talk about those kinds of issues that are confusing to people, right? Because they present a very good picture, but underneath what they're presenting, it doesn't seem to exactly stack up with what the church teaches or what scripture says. So what we strive to do is to set the record straight as it applies to some of the new age ideologies that are rampant within the culture today. The tendency towards occultism and superstition today, really quite an amazing thing. At some point in time, if I had enough years left, I would love to do a study and just kind of like investigate, you know, what the cultural and political situations were at the times when these various kinds of things rise up. They're always with us, but it seems that at certain periods in history, there is a tendency for these things to be embraced by the culture. It starts off as a fringe, but typically it is appealing to academia. It's appealing to the gentry, you know, the bourgeois class. But then as time goes on, it becomes proliferated throughout the culture itself. And I'd love to just kind of like look at that and see what the deal is. I don't think I'm going to get to that ever. But if you want to research it and let me know, I would appreciate it, because I think that there must be certain kinds of things that are happening that are not readily necessarily connected, that gives rise to this, that permits it really into the marketplace of ideas. So anyway, all of that being said, today we're going to take your questions. I'm really encouraging you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Lourdes with us already from Massachusetts. You can join her. We've got several lines still available. Let's populate them, 833-288-EWTN. Well, I'm very excited for another reason today. Always happy when it's Wacky Wednesday, but I'm very excited for another reason today. In addition to being with all of you, which is really what sets my sails full of you know, wind to take me, you know, out into there. But all of that being said, you know, I'm excited because I'm heading off to Philadelphia in the not too distant future, very soon, shortly after I get off of radio. I'm going to be boarding a plane and flying up to Philadelphia for our Malvern retreat, Women Women of Grace retreat at Malvern Retreat House there in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And I'm really excited. Our Benedicta begins tomorrow. I did have, you know, people still inquiring about it to some extent. So I just want you to know it is not too late, but you're going to want to take care of that really soon, especially if you have to come from a distance, right? Because it starts tomorrow morning. I think it starts like at 9 a.m. It starts early, but the schedule is out there on our website, womenofgrace.com, which is also where you can register. So anyway, we're looking forward to having you come to that. Certainly looking forward to having you come to the retreat, which begins on Friday. So you have, you know, another couple of, you know, you've got the rest of the today and tomorrow, and in even the beginning of Friday, because it starts Friday evening, to come for that. We've still got some seats available and we'd love to fill them up. Why? Because we want everybody to receive the blessing that God has in mind for them to receive by way of this retreat. And I can tell you, it's beautiful. I've been telling you about it for weeks now, with the marvelous speakers that are going to be there and the very special touches that are going to come by way of some of the special surprises that we have planned, but mostly the special touches that come by way of the presence of the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Lady active within the hearts, souls, minds, and spirits of the daughters of God. And so we're inviting you to join us for this beautiful, beautiful event. Hope for the Journey is the theme. In addition to that, you know, we've got Living Praise Music Group, who is going to be with us. They're a worship team, and they will lead us in song and lead us to the heights of prayer. I'll tell you, it's going to be very, very dynamic. So it's going to appeal to the whole person, which is kind of like what we try to do at Women of Grace. You know, we try to incorporate the totality of our humanity, knowing that we are both body and soul. So we have, obviously, and spirit, where we feed the spirit, you know, we have mass, we have confession, we have a healing service, but we also, you know, have a lot of fun, you know, and so we're very, what is the word that I want to use? We're an enthusiastic group, and so we do have a lot of fun, and have some special little things. I can't wait to share them with everybody that comes. Anyway, all of that being said, you know, we want to lift your heart and your mind to God. We want for you to, you know, adore Him, praise Him, worship Him through the gift of our bodies, right, through our humanity. So, you know, we've got all of those beautiful prayer postures that are common to us as Catholics. We kneel, we sit, we stand, right, and we do all of those things, and you know, and we just open our hearts and our minds to what God wants to do in us and through us. So I'm really encouraging you to come. And again, this Saturday, July the 26th, is a special day for young women of grace. And we've got a beautiful day planned for them, too, with lots of activities. As I tell you all of the time, what demarcates a Women of Grace gathering? Faith, fun, and fellowship. Faith, fun, fellowship. That's what we're about. Hope for the Journey is the theme. You know, be virtuous, be hopeful, be happy is the theme for the young women of grace. The Benedictus theme is consecrating conflict, finding hope in the struggle. It's all about hope in this Jubilee year of hope, and all kinds of good things coming your way. Get on out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. Read about it. Come. It is not too late. Get off of the fence if you've been on the fence. Heed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's got much that He wants to give you, but you can't get it if you don't come to receive it. All of that being said, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way you can call us. Sue Brickman on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So delighted to be with you today on this Wacky Wednesday. This is the day that we talk about some of the strange things that we see going on, or if we have questions about those strange things, this is the time that we answer them, specifically as it relates to the New Age, to the Human Potential Movement, which is one of the tributaries of the New Age, as well as Eastern Oriental mysticism and the occult. And let me tell you, they're all rampant in our culture today. As a a matter of fact, it seems as though it is the zeitgeist of this moment in time. So we like to address those questions, and we're really eager to take yours today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. In addition to that, you can also go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and leave your question for us right there in the chat feature at both of those sites. Tell us who you are, where you are. If you're not listening through YouTube or through Facebook, tell us how you are listening. And don't forget to put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. You can also text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply. Well, good morning to you, Sue Brinkman.
Good morning. So good to see you and hearing you all chipper and happy.
Yes.
I'm ready to get wacky. Boy, do I need wacky.
Yeah,
right
you've had a rough time of it this past
yes.
week. Sue was down with some kind of a horrid virus for, I don't know, at least a week, right, Sue?
Yes. Just now starting to, you know, recover, eat normally again now. And yeah, I don't want to have that again. That's for sure. I lost a lot of weight, though. So that's kind of a good thing. But I wish I didn't have to lose it that way.
Yeah, that's not the way we want to lose weight. No. Well, and you can't lose a lot of weight anyway. For those of you that don't know, Sue is a little lady. You know, she is a powerhouse. I want to tell you that. You all know that already. But she's a little lady. She's not very tall and she's not very wide. She's itty bitty. But you do pack a powerful wallop, Sue, and you're so appreciative for all of the work that you do for Women of Grace. And, you know, what a great effort you put forth. And I know that you've got a great book study going on right now with Carrie Gress's book, The End of Woman, how the patriarchy smashed. What is it now?
How smashing the patriarchy has destroyed us.
There
it's called
you go.
The End of Woman, and it's just a gripping, gripping read. I mean, if you knew all this, well, if the people, not you, because I know you do know it, all the spiritualism that's behind this, the occult, the leaning into communism and socialism and stuff that's behind the feminist movement, it's just shocking. But the way she presents the material is just fascinating. She really does a great job of that. It's easy to read it.
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity to interview her on that book. So, of course, I've read the book. But it's a book that you want to go back and read again because, you know, Carrie is, she's an exacting author and she packs a lot of stuff into what it is that she writes and presents. And some of the things that absolutely shocked me were how people that, you know, the people that have ties to British literature, for example, is it Shelley's wife that was deeply involved in all of this? And in addition to that, you know, this is going back like to the 1700s. And so, you know, we get a really clear picture on this. But I do want to let you all know that Sue is the presenter of our book studies, and we have them throughout the course of the year. And we're always discussing different books in these book studies. And, you know, keep your eyes peeled to our upcoming events section on our website, because that is the way that you know about it. Although we generally mention it here on the air as well. So all of that, you know, is so very helpful for us as we seek to live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with others. Well, listen, Lourdes has been with us since the beginning of our program today, and I don't want to keep her waiting any longer. So do you mind if we go straight to the phones?
Oh, no, please do.
Okay. Lourdes is with us from Massachusetts, listening to us via Station of the Cross, and we're happy you're here, and thank you for your patience, Lourdes. So tell us what's going on, dear.
Oh, hi. I had a question for Sue. I heard a priest talk about manifesting, and he never defined it. And so I Googled it, and it sounded like it was, you know, positive thinking to get through life, to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But it's also the same term that, like, exorcists will use when the devil will talk through a person. It's called manifesting. So I wanted to know what this is all about, please.
Okay, yes. You know, manifesting, really what he probably means is the this new age thing that's going on right now that has to do with meditation, guided visualization, vision boards, and other rituals that people are using because they believe that if they focus on these certain things, they can make these things happen. That their mind and their thoughts are connected to some kind of universal energy that has the power to make these things manifest. You know, it's not bad to visualize good things and to think positively. That's never a bad thing to do. But if you're visualizing your dreams in order to keep yourself motivated, toward achieving them by virtue of your own efforts, hey, that's fine. That's a fine thing to do. But if you think that just meditating on these things and envisioning them is going to actually make them happen, well, now you're stepping into the realm of the occult. This is magical thinking. This is superstition. That's more than likely what he meant by that. Now, manifesting would be a person, say, who they suspect might be possessed. And at some point during the ritual, they may begin to manifest in one way or another. Either they're speaking in languages that they wouldn't normally know, they're exhibiting some strength that is superhuman. That is also referred to as manifesting. But I kind of have a feeling that he probably was referring to this New Age fad, which is very big right now, manifesting. It's all over the place. And a lot of Hollywood stars are really attached to this process of manifesting. So you hear about it a lot. It's on the news a lot. And that's what manifesting is. The New Age version of it is that if you think about things and visualize things, you can make them come true. The normal idea about manifesting would be just that you're manifesting your goals to help to motivate yourself in order to achieve them and to do things to achieve them, which would be normal. That would be an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
So does that help you?
Yes, it does. I just wonder, how did they come up with using the term manifesting for all that? Because that doesn't sound like it's manifesting, using positive thoughts to do things.
Well, the word itself, manifest, means that to display or to show something, you know, through our actions or through, you know, our appearance. You know, so when Sue was talking there about exorcism and somebody manifesting, it's the demon that's manifesting through the person. So when they're, you know, I'm curious, did the priest talk about this in a positive or negative light? And what was the context in which he talked about it, Lourdes?
No, it was a New Age practice, and but he just never defined like what it was, but he talked about the history. But it was like, you know, Sue was talking about, it wasn't about like the devil or exorcisms. It was, yeah.
Well, you know, I guess the term, you know, this is one of the things about the New Age, Sue, that we know, and that is that they'll take a term and they will give it a new definition. And then people think that they're talking with them about the same thing, but they're not, because the definition has changed in their minds, you know?
Exactly.
This is one of the, you know, semantic gymnastics that they go through.
Mindfulness was another one. Remember that?
That's right.
While mindfulness was, everything was mindful, 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 mindful. And mindfulness can be perfectly normal thing to be mindful of, you know, someone who's talking to you and listening to
them, attention.
Right? Yes, to pay attention, exactly. But in their mind, it means this Buddhist practice of, you know, focusing on the now and doing so by using certain breathing techniques that are akin to, you know, Buddhism, the practice of Buddhism. So, I know exactly what you mean there. But he does seem to be talking about this kind of, you know, the guided visualization type stuff. That's what he seems to be referring to.
And maybe Sue and Lourdes, maybe the way in which that term is applying is that, you know, when individuals believe that they can make things happen through their own thought process. You know, that magical thinking that you were referring to, that superstitious perspective, right? The occult view. Then what it is that they're appealing to is the universe. They're appealing to the life force energy. You know, they're appealing to this impersonal energy force, you know, that pervades the universe and makes things happen. And so maybe the idea of this is not so much that the person is necessarily manifesting as it is that the person is making the universe manifest what it is that they want.
That's exactly what I think they're doing here. I know in Rhonda Byrne and in her books, The Secret, she talks all about doing that exactly that. Mm-hmm. Others out there on the internet, I've read, you know, the energy flows where attention goes. You know, give loving energy to whatever is in line with your goals. And once you're in this state of flow, you will begin to attract more of the right people and situations to help you fulfill your goals, you know. So, yeah, it's magical thinking. The whole thing is magical thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Lourdes, I hope that helps you. And what we want to do is to always be aware of the fact that the only kind of manifestation we want to see or be a part of is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? That's what we want. We want to be present to the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit be present to us.
Great.
Thank you so much, Lourdes. We appreciate it. Thank you. Also, friends, did you know that you can leave a message for us on our listener call-in line? It's available to you 24/7. The number for that is 205-795-5773. That's 205-795-5773. And we actually have a caller who left us a message that's pertinent to our program today, our topic. So let's listen to that call if we can, Vanessa. And Sue, let's see what you think about it.
My question is, my daughter is a practicing Catholic. My son-in-law is not. He's non-Catholic, but he is a Christian. He has been baptized. He is agoraphobic and can't leave the house other than to go to work, which is becoming increasingly more difficult. His world is shrinking. We suspect that there's a Masonic curse on his bloodline. His grandfather was the Grand Master of our local Masonic lodge. We have the deliverance prayers for combating the Masonic curse, but he has to be in a state of grace before he can combat this evil. So how does a non-Catholic get into a state of grace if he can't go to confession? So if you could help us, we need to know how to make that happen. All right. Thank you. I look forward to hearing your answer.
Thank you very much for your call, too, and for leaving it for us there on the listener call. Comment line, once again, friends, that number is 205-795-5773. So, Sue, this is a multi-layered issue here, but have at it.
Yeah, for one thing, I'm just wondering, why do they suspect that he's cursed? Is it because of the agoraphobia? Why do they suspect that there's a curse involved here? Okay, we already know that he's got Masonic in his bloodline and he needs to pray against that. But is there anything else that's going on there that's telling you that he's probably cursed? I guess is my question.
Yeah, and that would be my caller. Question too, because agoraphobia is, you know, it's a mental illness. And your world will shrink. I've known people that have had agoraphobia, and that's exactly what happens. It begins in subtle ways, and then before you know it, you're not leaving a room in particular, for example. So that needs to be addressed.
I would want that. And then she says, but he has to be in a state of grace first. Now, Jesus recognizes, of course, that there's different forms of Christianity out there. And if this young man truly in his heart is a Christian, is a lover of Jesus, and truly does want to be free of these, I don't see why he can't just go to a priest and ask a priest to help him. Whether or not he's a Catholic, why couldn't he just go to a priest and confess all this? Of course, he has nothing really to confess if he has not been involved in Masonry. This is just something that's in his bloodline, that there's people in his blood who were involved in Masonry, and they could have passed down some of those beliefs to other people within their lineage, right? Because sin doesn't pass down like that. But anyway, I think that he should be able to go, I would think, to speak to a priest and have that priest help him. And I don't see how a priest would ever turn him away.
I can't either. Two things I would say to that, too. Obviously, because he's not Catholic, the priest could not give him absolution. So when we use that word confess, you mean just talk to the priest about what is going on here.
Sure.
And then, I would select a priest who is knowledgeable about these things, is someone that works in deliverance ministry, because then what he would lead the young man to do would be to, you know, to renounce and to repent and to reject the spirit, right, of Freemasonry. And I would really encourage our caller to have a priest do this. I know that there are prayers that we can pray, and we do have a certain authority by our baptismal vows, but when you're talking about that spirit of Freemasonry, that is a very, very powerful, powerful demon. And I think that for the sake of protection of self and others, it is best to go to a priest, because the evil one recognizes his authority. His authority is very different than a lay person's authority. His authority comes by way of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. And every priest, through the Sacrament of Holy Orders, can perform a simple exorcism. As a matter of fact, that's what confession involves. It's a simple exorcism. It's not a formal exorcism. But you know, someone that's knowledgeable in this area, I think would be very, very helpful to this whole family. And then, you know, I think that what's happening here is there might be a conflating that an assumption that this agoraphobia is related to that history. And it could be, mm-hmm. but, or what it could definitely do is, you know, Sue, and you've told us so many times, is that if there is a mental illness, the evil one is not generally the cause of the mental illness, but he'll play in the mental illness. He'll use it to his advantage, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what he piggybacks on it. And that's how he gets in, is through that weak spot.
Yeah.
Which is the mental illness of some kind, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, friends, we want to hear from you. We're going to go to a break. Mary from Alberta, Canada is with us. 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us live here. That's 833-288-3986. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Phone lines are available for you. Sue is with us today, feeling much more chipper than she was feeling for the earlier part of this week, and we're happy about that. We're hoping you're feeling chipper too. Let us know. 833-288-EWTN or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. Certainly, certainly do want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open for you here. It is Wednesday. It's Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. So let's populate those lines. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Your question or your comment is very important to us, and not just to us, but to all of our listeners too. You never know, but that the question that you are asking or the comment that you are going to make is going to have an effect in someone's life, right? So let's take advantage of the opportunity and join us today. 833-288-3986. Well, I was telling you earlier about the ability for you to leave a question for us 24/7 on our listener comment line. I'm going to give you that number so that you can use it in the future. We don't go to that number or answer that phone when we're on the air, of course. But that number is 205-795-5773. You might want to use it in the future, but we're live for you here, 833-288-EWTN, toll free for you in North America. And we do have one other call that was left for us for a Wacky Wednesday. So Vanessa, why don't you cue that up for us?
Listening to Johnette Williams' show, and they're talking about crystals, and I know it's heavily in the occult, but also I thought there would be a good point if somebody could talk about St. Hildegard. She actually talks about putting stones in your mouth with certain frequencies, and she's a doctor of the church. So anyway, I think that's an important thing to bring up and discuss.
Well, thank you for your call, and this is news to me. I didn't know that about St. Hildegard, but Sue, how do we respond to that?
St. Hildegard was actually an extremely intelligent woman. She was brilliant. She was into all the sciences. She was very, very adept at, she was a composer. She was a writer. She was a philosopher. She was, if you really want to read an interesting history, it's the history of St. Hildegard. And she was into all different kinds of things, but she was doing many of this stuff, experimenting with them. And you have to be really careful about Hildegard because New Agers have pretty much co-opted all of her work and distorted what she actually did to make it sound like what she was doing was New Age. So they've pretty much hijacked this dear saint. And I would suggest reading a good Catholic book on her. Catholics United for the Faith, they gave a recommendation. They said extreme caution should be used when reading modern biographies of Hildegard or collections of her writings, which include modern commentary. Although she was a faithful Catholic herself, many heterodox Catholics and people involved with the New Age movement are unfairly trying to use her works to their own ends. And I suspect that that's what this is doing as well, with the crystals. And using them in a particular way that would be a magical way or a superstitious way. Because that sounds very much like the way they use crystals nowadays. They believe they have some kind of energy and that sort of thing. They have power. They believe that these crystals have special powers. Certain crystals can heal you. Certain crystals can calm you down when your nerves are fraught. So this is how they attribute these different powers to crystals. And the minute I heard that question, Johnette, my little red flag started flying. I go, oh, here we go again. They did this with mandalas with her. Oh, she was making mandalas. No, she wasn't. She was making designs. They looked like mandalas, but they are not mandalas. And she was not using them the way a mandala would be used in Eastern religions for prayer and meditation. So just be very careful. I'm not sure, of course, where this information came from. But as I said, you should really just be using reputable Catholic sources, preferably those that have an imprimatur on St. Hildegard and her work, because there's so much stuff out there about this brilliant woman. She's a brilliant woman. And they're trying to twist it into making her be somebody that really, that she was not.
Yeah.
She was 100% faithful to her God.
Yeah, there's a whole article on this. I went out there and did just a little bit of searching around on the search engine, Sue, as you were responding, on Unam Sanctam Catholicam's website. And all I did is put in St. Hildegard stones in the mouth. And what came up is this whole article on St. Hildegard on gemstones. And it explains exactly what you're saying. And we have a tendency today, and this is an unfair thing to do. We have a tendency today to take the knowledge and the wisdom that we have and all of the insights that we have from research, all of what has been, verified in up to this point in time, and take all of that body of knowledge and look to the past and kind of judge or evaluate people on what we now know. And that's not a fair thing. And what this particular article does is it talks about the fact that in her time, as you're saying, you know, what the conventional knowledge was, the way in which people thought was that all of the various kinds of complaints and ailments or problems that people had were related to the four principal humors in a person's body, which were blood, yellow bile, black bile, and phlegm. And so, you know, this was the medical wisdom at the time. And so that's how she perceived, because that's what the knowledge was, that's how she perceived various things. So it goes on and it says that, you know, she was very clear to talk about the fact that this was not superstition. It says that the whole concept of the gemstones was entirely naturalistic. It says Hildegard goes to great lengths to explain that their usage is in accord with the principles of natural philosophy and neither magical nor superstitious. So she was teasing out superstition from what she was presenting, but unfortunately what she was presenting, though it was the conventional wisdom of the day, doesn't hold up in terms of the medical science that we have today. So It's not good to always project back. And I really like what you said there, because we see over and over again where people will co-opt, you know, some of our saints. We've seen this with Saint Francis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the New Age has glommed onto him. The you know, environmentalists have glommed onto him and read all kinds of things into his writings, et cetera, that are just not intentional on his part.
Exactly. And they do it all the time. I know we wrote a blog on it. We have a blog on our New Age Q&A blog. And I write in here that everything, they have distorted just about everything she ever wrote, painted, sang, or said. It has been distorted in one way or another. So that's why we need to do what you did, and you go out and you look for a good, solid Catholic source.
Yeah.
Any books about her that have imprimaturs.
Yeah. And I just want to recommend to people, I don't know, you know, when you talk about her being a composer, her music is absolutely beautiful. And there was a musical group, I think they've disbanded now, but they were called the Anonymous Four. And it was an a cappella women's group. Oh my gosh, their music is just absolutely amazing. And they have one whole, CD, which now, you know, is downloadable, called The Origin of Fire, which is her work. And oh my goodness, I mean, sometimes, you know, if I feel distracted in prayer, you can put that on very, very quietly, and it just kind of, you know, reorients you back to an opening of heart and mind to God. But she's just a wonderful saint and daughter of the church. So we don't want to extrapolate. I guess that's the final word on that. Let's get to Tracy. She is very patient too, and in with us there in Columbus, Ohio, listening via St. Gabriel Radio. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Well, hi there.
Hi.
I had a question.
Sure.
And it is about a DVD that my son gave me with Tai Chi. And it has them just instructing on it and doing some foam rolling. And there's nothing else talked about, no spirituality, anything like that. Just making sure that would be okay to do.
Go for it, Sue.
Tai Chi is based in Taoism, so it does have a religious connotation to them. Tai Chi is based on the existence of a life force energy that science really has never been able to substantiate, so a lot of that is not good. The belief that a life force energy pervades all of nature, that's pantheism, that really isn't good. We don't really recommend people get involved in Tai Chi because you can get led into things. I found an article on Catholics United for the Faith, a very good explanation of why you should think about not getting involved in Tai Chi. Even though you're using it as a means of exercise, relaxation, people like to use that for balance. They say it really helps them to increase their balance. And all of the different moves in that actually imitate animals. So it's not like the movement of animals in the wild. It's not like yoga where they're doing poses of worship to these gods, but the origin of Tai Chi is in the Chinese religion of Taoism. So some people may want to know that before they get involved. And although there is nothing objectively wrong with the physical movements of Tai Chi, there are many philosophical elements in it that are contrary to Christianity. And you just have to, you know, be careful that you don't start to look into it more, read into it more. They have the idea that the physical world comes from dualistic principles, which come from this ultimate, you know, life force. It just can't be reconciled to Christianity. So that's why we tell people to look for something else. There's a lot of different things you can do for balance. It doesn't have to be Tai Chi. So that's what we have on that particular thing. That's like I said, though, it's not yoga-like, where the poses are actual positions of worship. They were created for that purpose, was to worship gods, even though we're using it as an exercise. Tai Chi, that's based on the different movements of animals in the wild. So that's a little bit different there. But it's up to you. It's you know, we don't recommend getting involved in Tai Chi, but that's totally up to you.
Yeah, and the word, anytime you see the word chi, you know that it is something that is related to this life force energy, you know, and what the Tai Chi, what the term itself means in Chinese is supreme ultimate or great extreme, you know, and it is, you know, there's a lot of history behind it. So I think that, you know, one of the things that I think, why did your son give you that? Was there a purpose or a reason?
He's not anything with, no. In fact, we're praying for all our children and grandchildren
sure.
to come back to the faith. But it's not anything like that. It was just in National Institute of Health, they had done some research studies showing it had beneficial, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so he's looking out for his mom, you know, and that's a beautiful sentiment of heart, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I thought maybe you were having balancing issues or something like that, and so he thought that this would be a good thing for you. And that's the other thing I think that it's interesting to me is that so much of the New Age now and these Eastern Oriental practices have made their way into healthcare settings. And, you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing, I guess, but in most cases, you know, I think that it leads people in a direction that they don't want to go. So unless you have a real driving need, Tracy, which I can't imagine what that would be, you know, I probably wouldn't mess around with it.
Nice taper on, and you know how that goes.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you.
I appreciate your time. My gosh, thank you.
You're welcome, and we appreciate you for calling. Thanks so very much. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today here on Women of Grace Live. So, Sue, you know, we consistently get questions about certain things. Tai Chi comes up often enough. Mm-hmm. Yoga, of course, comes up all of the time. And one of the things that I think is so very important to realize is something that you said to Tracy, and that was that, you know, there are other ways and other means to accomplish the end that you're looking for. You don't have to use and resort to these particular modalities.
Right. Why go to things that are based in religion? You don't need that. Why have that baggage with it? Physical therapy is a good place to go if you're wanting to take up Tai Chi for keeping your balance or strengthening your core and that sort of thing. There's plenty of things you could do. Just go on to physical therapy sites. And although some of them may have yoga and that on them, for the most part, they do. I was in physical therapy for 8 weeks last fall, and I don't think they ever introduced anything to me, never anything that had to do with yoga or anything Easterns. But you're right, it has really begun to infiltrate especially our healthcare system, which kind of bothers me because in the healthcare system, it kind of validates it. It's like, oh, you know, it must be good because look, this hospital, the very prestigious hospital is telling people, yeah, go ahead, we do Reiki here, we recommend yoga here and that sort of thing. What people don't realize is the reason that many, many hospitals out there are doing that is because they're run by MBAs, not necessarily MDs. And MBAs, businessmen and women, they're interested in the bottom line. They're interested in marketing. And right now, people want alternatives because the New Age has been very successful in proliferating this whole thing about conspiracy about modern medicine, although modern medicine has a lot of stuff wrong with it. I'm not saying it's perfect. But they have really gone overboard with this whole thing to turn people away from medicine and science at all. They don't want anything to do with it at that point. And that's because of really people are out there. They just want these alternatives. So the hospitals are offering them. It has nothing to do with whether or not those practices are efficacious in any way. So you got to be really careful with that. And I think what our last caller just did, picked up the phone and called. She was a good sport about it. You know, we told her, look, we don't think it's a good idea. It would have been much easier for her probably to say, oh, yeah, you know, they told us that this Tai Chi DVD you gave me, son, was really great. But unfortunately, we couldn't do that. And she was a good sport about it, I think, you know. But you got to – there's a lot of magical thinking out there, yeah. Johnette. There's just a whole lot of magical thinking out there. And people just – they're looking for something. And I think it's because we're in an age where, especially in the younger generation, they're not grounded in a faith of any kind. They're N-O-N-E, nuns, right? They don't have that – that strengthening from within that comes from your faith and the grace that God gives you. And they're looking for a fix. They're looking for something that's going to help them quickly. It's all kinds of stuff is out there. I just did a blog on the Monday's Child nursery rhyme. You know, people, you know, Monday's Child is full of fair of grace. Tuesday's Child is full of grace. You know that one? Wednesday's Child is full of woe. And, you know, people out there thinking they allow that stuff to influence who they are and how they behave. They do the same thing with the birth order. Another article out there on the birth order, that if you're a middle child and that, and I'm being a middle child, I can say, yeah, you are. You're pegged. And what ends up happening is you start to behave that way. And this is all just magical thinking. University of York just did a study on this, the whole Monday's Child nursery rhyme, and found out that, good news, it's really not as big a problem as some parents were worried about it, that I don't want my child to grow up thinking this about themselves, that they're going to be full of woe, and that, you know, what if that child has some depression issues and needs to have some, you know, mental health care? They're going to chalk it off to the day they were born. And people do this. They do this with astrology all the time. We know that with horoscopes. They say, oh, I'm just doing it for fun. But if something happens to you on a day that you read your horoscope and the horoscope said, oh, you're going to have prosperity today, and you happen to find a $20 bill in the parking lot somewhere, you know what you're going to think. You're going to think it was your horoscope. You're going to start believing it.
You'll connect
it anyway.
So this
is why, this is why, I mean, I think we do here at Women of Grace, we take the better safe than sorry attitude here. And I think we take a very practical approach to this stuff to say, look, okay, not everybody in a yoga class is worshiping the sun god, but some people in there are. And some people in there may be encouraging others to believe in the sun god. So why put yourself into that situation? To me, it's much more practical to say, avoid it. Take some other kind of isometric class. Why put yourself into that particular situation where you could be tempted to go down a road that you're going to be sorry about? So anyway, I'm kind of ranting on here, but there is this magical thinking out there. And I think that in a lot of ways, we just have to get out there and start to tell, don't think that way. Turn to God. He can help you in these situations. You don't need to turn to astrology and blame it on your birth order or the day that you were born or any other superstitious type things. You just need God. You just need Jesus Christ.
Well, I think you used a word there that I think is absolutely true, and that is quick. You know, if people are in misery, whether that misery is psychological or emotional, people are grieving deeply, or people are in misery, you know, because of some ailment of the body, they want out of it. You know, they want, you know, a quick fix. And so they'll resort to these measures. And sometimes there seems to be, you know, a limiting of the symptoms. Oftentimes it's just the placebo effect. They think that that is helping them. But, you know, a lot of situations and circumstances cannot be resolved that way. And you gave us the answer there. It's always turn to the Lord. It's always to deepen our life of prayer. It's always to deepen our union with Him. It's to receive the sacraments. It's to open ourselves more and more. And He changes the way in which we perceive everything that's going on. We see things there that we never saw. What appears to be darkness, you know, has a light in it. And we find that light in the darkness, you know, and it guides us and directs us. And speaking of a light, you know, today is the birthday of Father Benedict Groeschel. I don't know if you knew that, Sue. Mm-hmm. We all remember Father Benedict here at EWTN, and so many do with such fond memories. And he was just such an unselfish man. You know, he very, very kind to me when my son died. He called me personally and talked with me, and just the kind of a man who was a holy priest and went out of his way to be of service to others. And he didn't mince words. He was not a word mincer under any circumstances. Well, listen, and also there's Roses out there on YouTube, and she wanted to know, what is the schedule for the Women of Grace retreat? And this is what I want to do, Rose. I want to direct you to our website, womenofgrace.com. You're going to see it. It'll come right up on the slideshow there. Click on that. It'll take you out to a landing page and scroll down, and you will see the whole schedule there. It begins Friday evening at 5 p.m. with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the opening homily by Bishop William Walter Scheid. We have dinner, we have a little bit of praise and worship, and then we get into it, and it carries on throughout the course of the weekend. But the whole schedule's outlined there for you, so can't do that on the air. And also, too, Angela, thank you. Angela is sending blessings and prayers to us and hoping that we have a great, great retreat. And I thank all of you so, so very much for your prayers, for everybody that's coming, for all of us that are traveling to get there. Many are. And Sue, we love you and wish that you were 100% well to be with us. But we'll be back together again next Wednesday. So take care of yourself,
sure,
dear lady, and get yourself over the hump here.
All right, friends,
I'm going to be with you tomorrow. I've got a couple of shows lined up for you, and you're going to enjoy those. But we're going to be busy bees up there in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Love you, Sue, and love all of you, too. Thank you. God bless Vanessa and everybody. Bye. Thank you.